Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Do you believe in a corporate death penalty? The U.S. Supreme Court does. One way to look at this is that there were at least two death penalties administered in Arizona this week. 56-year-old Donald Beattie was executed by lethal injection for the rape and murder of a 13-year-old girl in the 1980s. And a sandwich shop called Danny's Subway got the business death penalty for hiring immigrants who did not have the proper papers. A personal death penalty for rape and murder, a corporate one for hiring workers here illegally. It's the only corporate death penalty I know of. It wasn't only Danny's Subway. We should mention a few other businesses have gotten it, too. The headline is that Arizona's business death penalty was upheld yesterday by the U.S. Supreme Court. Signed into law in 2007 by then-Governor Janet Napolitano, now the Homeland Security Secretary, the business death penalty law says the state may revoke any company's license to do business in Arizona if the company is found to knowingly be hiring immigrants who are here illegally. Now, as you might guess, the case found pro-business conservatives on the same side as immigration advocates, but those conservatives concerned more with reducing immigration won the day over those concerned mostly with government leaving business alone. So that's the case, and that's how it turned out in the Supreme Court. Maybe you support or oppose the decision, 5-3, but it got me wondering about the context of the corporate death penalty, and I thought we would open the phones and talk to a guest or two, opening our social media as well, for you to weigh in on when, if ever, companies should get a corporate death penalty. Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our comments page at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Do you support the Arizona ruling? And in general, when, if ever, should companies get a corporate death penalty? 212-433-9692. Some candidates that come to mind, the Bhopal gas leak by Union Carbide in India that killed thousands of people in the 1980s. The amount of financial damages, believe it or not, is still being litigated. No one has ever suggested, really, in a legal sense, that Union Carbide be put out of business by law, state or national or international law. But for hiring some undocumented immigrants, Danny's Subway shop gets deep sixed. What about Union Carbide? The BP oil spill, no corporate death penalty there. How many people died? If corporate malfeasance is proven to have played a role, would that be the right punishment? How about Fukushima Daiichi? Article after article is now revealing how the company was warned about weaknesses in its defenses, but did not take the recommended preventive measures anyway. Should corporations ever get the death penalty? When, if ever, should companies get a corporate death penalty? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Or itsafreecountry.org, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. I read that there is a corporate manslaughter law in the UK, but I couldn't find a case in which a company has been tried for it. I'm not sure. But listeners, there's the question. Should a corporation ever get the death penalty? And if so, for what? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And joining us is Les Leopold. He's the author of The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It, published in 2009. And he runs a think tank called the Labor Institute. Les Leopold, thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
First, do you understand the Arizona law? How are companies put out of business by a state for hiring workers in the country illegally?
Well, it looks like it's one of these programs. It's their desire to crack down on immigration. And this is a law designed, if you knowingly hire a immigrant, then an illegal immigrant, then you are subject to, I think it's a series of steps. The first step is a kind of a probation and then a license revocation down the road. It's a very interesting concept. You're opening up the door on getting us to think about where, you know, what such crimes are all about. To me, this is a gigantic diversion. The immigration battle has always been a gigantic diversion from sort of the fundamental problem we're having with our economy. It's not a problem with
right.
illegal immigrants.
So it's kind of a three strikes and you're outlaw. First you'll get a fine, or then you'll get probation, and then if you're a repeated offender in terms of hiring undocumented workers, then the state will deny, because a business needs a license to do business issued by the state. At issue at the Supreme Court, do you know whether it was just whether a state as opposed to the federal government could enforce immigration law? Because that's the thing that's mostly been covered in the media. Or was the corporate death penalty itself, as potentially cruel and unusual punishment, also a point of argument?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's interesting that the conservative majority went along with the law. I don't know if they did it because of a sort of a states' rights attitude. It opens up a Pandora box about what we actually can do with recidivist corporations who are doing us in. I'd like to see the same kind of rule applied to Wall Street. I think the crimes involved there are so much greater in magnitude. I mean, we had an economic crash where 8 million jobs were killed by Wall Street's games, reckless gambling, which is the equivalent of wiping out the entire workforce of New England. The entire workforce of New England disappeared in a matter of months. And virtually, well, no one has been punished. In fact, we bailed them out. But can you imagine if a hedge fund that was caught involved in systematic insider trading lost their license and could never exist again? Can you imagine what would happen? Here's Goldman Sachs, who already was penalized $550 million, which is just another cost of doing business for them. Imagine if they lost their license to do business because they were involved in basically a scam to defraud their investors.
In fact, the only example that I was able to find that I think qualifies as a real sort of federal corporate death penalty was a Wall Street example. It was the accounting firm Arthur Andersen.
Correct.
After its involvement in the Enron scandal, although that conviction was overturned. But when it was convicted of accounting fraud, it lost its license to audit, I guess, at the federal level. And since it was an auditing firm, that effectively put the company out of business.
Well, imagine applying that to a securities fraud. Here we have a conviction of the head of Galleon, a hedge fund. And it's a federal conviction. And what if they lost their license to trade on any of these markets? That would be the kind of penalty that would get their attention, because you can't just paper it over by either sending somebody to jail or paying a fine. In the Goldman Sachs case, J.P. Morgan's probably facing another big fine also for almost the identical scam with a different hedge fund, and they're not going to suffer in any material way other than paying a parking fine.
And those are all, even as bad as those are, those are all property crimes, in a sense, you know, things that have to do with money, even though they've ruined a lot of people's lives, not to minimize it. But what about in the cases of death? You know, we typically apply the death penalty to human beings only in cases of murder. So I mentioned Bhopal, Union Carbide. I mentioned BP, the nuclear plant in Japan. I mean, is there any mechanism anywhere? I mentioned that I read a reference to, though I can't find anything really good on it, this UK corporate manslaughter law.
Yeah, no, I heard you talking about that. I think the place where it would be most effective and actually be exactly what you're talking about would be around occupational safety and health, not just the Bhopal, but the sort of continual death at the workplace where these things are called accidents, and then when they're explored by a chemical safety board or some federal Institute, they find that it's like willful neglect, you know, poor maintenance, just like you were talking about in Japan. But we, how many people died in the various explosions that have taken place at refineries and chemical plants around the country? And again, it's just the cost of business. Yes, there are third-party lawsuits that take place, but imagine if the companies involved, and these are some big ones, lost their licenses for killing people. Right now, the estimate is, 5,000 a year? It's probably 10 times that much. Workplace deaths, it's probably 10 times that much if you count disease as well. But harder to show cause and effect, as we know. But when you blow up your plant and your workforce, it seems to me, and you did so because you did not adhere to our occupational safety and health regulations, and you didn't fix up the plant, you didn't put the money in that you were supposed to put in, maybe you shouldn't do business anymore.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking about the corporate death penalty, if you're just joining us, because the U.S. Supreme Court approved one yesterday, state of Arizona actually revoking the license of some companies to do business at all in the state if they have repeatedly, knowingly hired immigrants here illegally. So we're asking about this precedent. When else should a corporate death penalty be imposed by government? With Les Leopold, who authored a book called The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity. And with you, when, listeners, if ever, should companies get a death penalty imposed by the state? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Margaret in Manhattan. Hi, Margaret. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that for logical consistency, the Supreme Court would have to say that, of course, they could have the death penalty, because in that recent decision around corporate contributions to political campaigns, they said that they were citizens. And I don't agree with that decision because I think it's logically, inconsistent to say that a corporation can participate in our political process as a voter. But if you're going to say that they can, then you're going to have to say that they could also have the death penalty.
Yeah, Margaret, thank you. And Les, that's an interesting concept from a legal standpoint. If under Citizens United, corporations now have the recognition of individual humans in terms of campaign finance, do they also, is there legal precedent to argue that the corporations should then be punished more in the same way as human beings in a general way?
Well, look, they've had the personhood concept, since the late 19th century. And they've always had it both ways. When the personhood helps corporations maintain their profitability and their position in society, then it's fine. But when you get over into the area of criminal liability and such, then it's not fine. It's a very interesting door that's been opened here, and I know there are campaigns afoot for years to try to get rid of personhood in general in corporations, so that they wouldn't have these same kind of all the rights, the property rights especially, that individuals have. So that this does say, okay, if you're going to commit an egregious crime against your workforce or society as a whole, you have to pay the price. I somehow don't think we're headed this way. The great business coalition that's and that's opposing this immigration bill would go bonkers if they heard this conversation.
I know. I'm just surprised. It seems to me like I'm the only person who even thought of having this conversation so far. Everybody else is talking about the immigration angle, which makes sense. It was an immigration decision. But I've seen some groups, usually progressive groups that are considered kind of fringy, raise over the years, there should be a corporate death penalty for corporate crimes that are egregious enough. And all of a sudden, Arizona has a corporate death penalty.
It's amazing.
And the U.S. Supreme Court, the Roberts Court, upholds it. So there's some kind of conversation to have here. Chris in Manhattan has another suggestion of a category for this. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, the category would be private health insurers. Think about what they do. They effectively render death penalties for individuals when they unfairly deny claims. Now, if it's an impeachable crime to break immigration laws, which don't necessarily kill people, Well, how would you categorize what insurers do when they effectively kill people by unfairly withholding claims or payments?
Mm-hmm. There you go. It is another example where if there's malfeasance there, it could very well end in death.
Let me just point out something here. How different a regime could be at the workplace if this penalty that you're bringing up and starting to promote today.
I'm not promoting it. I'm just raising
it.
The idea.
Discussing it. Discussing it. Just imagine what would happen. I work in occupational health and safety issues, and there's a huge difference between a Department of Energy weapons site or former weapons site and a private, let's say, oil refinery. The weapons facilities literally have no deaths. I mean, they try to make sure the production is safe, and they are meticulous about it. Not so in the private sector. Now, imagine what that tells me, though, is that it could be meticulous in an oil refinery and a chemical plant. It could be incredibly meticulous. Every time there's a near miss, it would be investigated, root cause would be found, and you would do something about near misses instead of waiting till they built up and you had a mammoth explosion.
Yes.
So it's actually doable, but the problem is there's nothing to force it to happen. And the possibility of actually losing your whole entire business may, in fact, turn that regime in the private sector to look more like what it does with the Department of Energy.
Someone else is suggesting Halliburton or other private contractors in war, if they are found to, that's Halliburton, but probably meant to say Blackwater, or companies that are found to, be criminally liable for deaths in war through malfeasance, not just through the fact that they're hired to participate in war. Chris in Manhattan. Oh, no, sorry. We just had Chris, so thank you. And now we're going to finish with people who want to argue the other way. Ellen posted to our Facebook page the question, why kill the company which puts people out of jobs and hurts the local economy? No one was helped by Drexel Burnham, Arthur Anderson, Findlay Cumbel, etc., going out of business completely. And a lot of innocent people were hurt. Why not just kill the leadership at the company, throwing out key execs who are violating the law and bringing in outsiders? And Rachel in Red Hook, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to kind of argue the same point from a different direction, which is from a position that opposes the death penalty in absolutely every single case and does so both for moral reasons and because the research on the death penalty is pretty conclusive that it doesn't do anything in terms of deterring future offending. And furthermore, there's a little bit of research that shows that it doesn't really do as much as it could do in terms of restitution. So why not, instead of have a death penalty model, you could have a model that looks more towards something like South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which looked at a history of mass atrocities and said, how can we learn and heal together as a society? And I would go further, and you could say, if you were willing to have a stronger central state, you could make laws that mandate what companies can do, what they can't do, and how they have to repay society when they've committed either economic or life atrocities.
It's really a wonderful argument, Rachel. You took the arguments that people use against the death penalty for individuals with better alternatives to that and said we could do that on the corporate level, too. Thank you for that. And I guess to finish up, Danny from Washington Heights on our comments page, Les, I think sums up my thinking on this pretty much in terms of raising where it might even potentially be applicable in the real world and where it wouldn't be excessive. Danny writes, criminality is the key. In Brian's other examples, if a creative lawyer could show not just negligence, but criminal negligence, which is a higher threshold, he or she could bring an action under RICO, according to Danny. Under the right circumstances, this could shut the corporation down, even absent a new law. And, that's where I think it comes in to play, potentially. Criminal negligence that results in deaths of human beings. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have this conversation as a country now, or maybe we'll only debate corporate death penalties for companies that hire undocumented workers. Les Leopold, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me, Brian.
Author of The Looting of America, How Wall Street's Game of Fantasy Finance Destroyed Our Jobs, Pensions, and Prosperity, and What We Can Do About It. And he is the founder of an organization called the Labor Institute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, just in time for your summer bike rides, the NYPD refines its bicycle ticketing practices. What would be the death penalty in that? Confiscating your bicycle? You may never ride a bicycle again. I don't think we're at that point. But looks like somewhat of a truce between the NYPD and certain groups of bike riders. We'll get details.